Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And there was a time when nothing could replace a good record store. In fact, it's still a one-of-a-kind experience. The exploration and discovery, the smell of thousands of records curated by fellow music nerds, and the feeling of physically touching a vinyl record. There's a place in Seattle that's offered this experience for nearly 40 years, and soon it will be closing. Bop Street Records, once named one of the top five record stores in the country, has been hit hard by COVID-19. And its owner, Dave Voorhees, says now is as good a time as ever to close. And Dave joins us now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks a lot. Glad to be here.
Well, Dave, you started selling records, I read, from your parents' basement way back in 1974. You've owned and operated Bop Street Records since 79, settling in the neighborhood of Ballard back in 84. And, you know, I lived in Seattle for about a decade, and I used to frequent your store. We're talking 500,000 records you've got in there. I'm just thinking, what are you feeling right now? I mean, this store has been such a part of you for most of your life.
Well, I'll tell you, it's pretty surreal. That's probably the best term I can use. When you're used to a certain routine of getting up in the morning and going to work and turning off the alarm and turning on, you know, putting the open sign out there and turning on some music and just waiting to talk to customers, it's going to be a strange feeling when I look in this location and it's empty and it may not have actually struck me yet.
Yeah. How has COVID-19 impacted your business? It's really influenced your decision not to renew your lease.
We had actually thought we were going to renew the lease, but once it hit, we decided not to. I respect Governor Inslee and Mayor Durkin as far as putting some restrictions on non-essential, although I always feel a record store is an essential business, but
yeah.
they've deemed them non-essential. So it's affected my business immensely. I don't have any foot traffic. And then also the main thing, about 80% of my customers are first-time buyers from Europe, from some place where you'd have to arrive by plane.
So you'll be selling online. I am just thinking about the task of getting 500,000 records out of a retail store. And then where will they go?
Well, let me give a shout out to the Seattle Goodwill.
Which is the best one in the country, by the way. I want to throw that out there.
It's a good one. The one down on Dearborn, the one downtown.
Yep.
They picked up 40 boxes last week. That's 4,000. But tomorrow they're coming to pick up over 120,000 boxes, which would be 12,000 more records. They're not going to a dump or something like that. They're going to go from my store to be able to be bought at the Goodwill. So we appreciate that.
Well, as I mentioned, Bop Street Records has been named one of the best record stores in the country. And a lot has to do with the collection that you've curated over the years. I mean, it's really about you and your tastes. So I want to know, how did your passion for music first start? And what was the first album you ever owned?
My first 45 I ever bought was a Fats Domino 45 when I was 8.
Mm.
And then the first record I ever got, which is the initial question you asked me, for my 10th birthday in December of 59, I got the Buddy Holly story. He had just died in February of that year, so about 10 months early. And I listened to that thing over and over and over. Sometimes if I hear a particular song, Buddy Holly's song, I'll expect to hear the next song on the album because I had just... It was sort of ingrained to me, the sequence, the order that those songs were on the record.
Yeah. You know, that's a classic. Let's listen to a little bit of it.
All of my love, all of my kissing, you don't know what you've been missing, oh boy.
Oh boy.
When you're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy.
The whole world can see that you were meant for me. All of my life, I've been waiting. Tonight there'll be no hesitating, oh boy.
Dave, you can't see me, but I'm like dancing and lip syncing the songs.
One time I actually entered a lip sync contest singing, oh boy, I mean lip syncing to that song, oh boy. Yeah, I didn't
it's
win.
It's a good one.
I had a mustache at the time. It looked a lot more like Weird Al Yankovic, but anyway.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, I know I'm younger than you, but that kind of song is such a classic. I don't know, you know, it just spans generations. You know the words, you know the beat. The moment the beat drops, you know it.
You bet.
In some ways, it's almost like you stumbled into records as a way of life, though, right? I mean, how did it come to be that you uncovered 3,000 rare blues records when you started selling. That's amazing.
Sure, I can tell you. What happened was I was working at a used record store, and a guy came in with a shoebox full of just incredible blues 45s. And so I asked him, where'd you get these? He said, my brother lives in Houston. There's a little town called Angleton, Texas. And there was a jukebox distributor there with 100,000 45s for a dime a piece. So a friend of mine and I, after about a week of knowing about this, we drove down there. We spent 8 hours a day, 3 days in a row, so a total of 24 hours. There were little silverfish scurrying around. There was a dead mouse in the corner of this big warehouse. And at the end of each day, you'd blow your nose, and it's just like dust and dirt. But it was, I've had a lot of highlights in my life, but that was one of the highlights. It was just pretty incredible. I should have bought them all. But I didn't. But I bought 3,000 of them for $300, and I shipped them back to Seattle. And within about 2 weeks, I'm selling them out of my parents' basement for, I'm going to say, $2 to $10 a piece. In addition, people I don't even know are sort of calling me off the hook. You know, it's like, hey, you know, my friend Terry was at your house. You know, can I come see your records, et cetera, et cetera. So it was a cool way to start.
Talk about a cool way to start. Absolutely. Yeah, one of those rare 45s or singles was Otis Rush's I Can't Quit You Baby. Let's take a listen.
Well, I can't quit you, baby. But I gotta put you down for a while.
Dave, I want to be on somebody's porch down in the South with a good drink listening to this song. I mean, this
sure,
is so
sure,
good.
Sure. And actually, he started out in the South, but he moved to Chicago in the mid-50s along with Magic Sam and Shaky Jake. And this is on the label called the Cobra label. But he was an incredible left-handed guitarist, influenced Hendrix, influenced a lot of the more, you know, the later guitarists because he was so good.
Yeah. That song is from 1954, which in some ways... you have found an archive, and that's what your store is really become for so many folks who have come to visit. And you've had some big names come to your store. I mean, regular everyday folks like me, but also folks like Questlove, even possibly Oprah. You must have some really good stories.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I can tell you a few. One of the early ones was Robert Crumb, of course, the cartoonist, R. Crumb. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he did the cover for Cheap Thrills, and he's an inveterate 78 collector. And he came in, probably spent 6 hours at one of my locations. At the end of the day, he brings down a big stack of records, and said, do you know what you want for these? I said, oh, I don't know. Would you take $75 for them? I said, sure. It's probably about $1,000. Wow, maybe $500 worth of records. But he was cool. I enjoyed meeting him and talking to him. And he actually signed a couple of records for me, so that was cool. I've also had Ben Gibbard used to come in from Death Cab one time. He said, oh, Dave, this is my fiancée, Zoe. Well, it was Zoe Deschanel. I didn't know that. I just said, oh, hello, nice to meet you, Zoe. Dave Grohl, okay, about 2 weeks after Kurt died, guy comes into my store who I recognize, and he knows that I know who he is. But he says, I hear you've been selling this rare Nirvana set. I looked at him. I said, who's asking? Just joking, you know. And he bought it. He bought it from me. So, yeah, it's just been the greatest.
Well, Bob Street is closing its doors. It really feels like the end of an era, especially when we think about what the store was named after, Bob Street by Gene Benson and the Blue Caps. Let's listen.
Hey, Cat, where you going, man?
Man, I'm going down to Bob Street.
Tell me, Cat, where's that direction?
Man, ain't you heard? They got one of them in every town.
Real cool.
Bob Street.
Oh, Dave, I mean, what do you want your legacy to be?
Well, I would say just that I try to find music for people and welcomed them into my store and made them feel comfortable. I'm getting kind of tearful here. I had a guy call me on the phone just a few days, and he was actually crying, and he said, I can't express how much joy you brought to me.
Absolutely. We thank you for giving us this experience for so many years. So you're going to be missed, but you're still around, and you got to be the human algorithm now online for folks. That's what's going to happen. Thank you so much for joining us today. That's Dave Voorhees, owner of Bop Street Records in Seattle.
Thank you.